Could we please turn to Matthew chapter 5 this morning? Matthew chapter 5. And we want to read from the first verse of the chapter. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1. Matthew 5 verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. Now I want you please to go down to verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, and to be trodden under foot of men. Let's please look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we are not worthy to have the word of God. We are not worthy, Lord, to be able to open thy word and to be able to read these words of divine inspiration, the very words of God himself. But we ask, Lord, that thou wilt have mercy upon us. And even as we, Lord, would study this passage today, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt teach us. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt feed us upon the finest of the wheat. We realize, Lord, that it is so important for us to receive spiritual food. How important it is, Lord, that we as your people, Lord, receive that spiritual nourishment that will strengthen us and encourage us for the week that lies ahead. So, dear Lord, I pray that thou wilt come and bless your people and teach us and minister to us. And in all things, Lord, may thou be glorified. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Over the last few weeks, there has been quite a few programs on the television, or quite a few news items on the television, speaking about the shortage of salt. And of course, at this time of year, there is a great need for salt, and salt is much in demand. But I'm sure that you have heard, particularly of Fife Council in Scotland, where there has been a drastic shortage of salt, and indeed the salt almost ran out. And of course, there are many council areas right across the United Kingdom that are in exactly the same position. Salt is in short supply. And how important it is that there is salt at this time of year, during this cold snap and when the roads are so dangerous. How important it is that council men are able to get out and to salt the roads so that the roads are able to be travelled on. Well, I want us today to think about spiritual salt. Spiritual salt. The Lord Jesus today has drawn our attention to spiritual salt. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now, you'll notice here that the Lord Jesus didn't say, ye should be the salt of the earth. He simply states the fact, ye are the salt of the earth. Christian, today, in this meeting, you are the salt of the earth. You might say, well, if you only knew about my life and the shortcomings in my life and how I have failed the Lord and how I grieve over my sin, you wouldn't call me the salt of the earth. How could the Lord Jesus say that I am the salt of the earth? Maybe that's your attitude today. Well, I have encouragement for you today. The Lord Jesus says to you, you are the salt of the earth. You are special. You are precious. Yes, you can see your shortcomings. You can see the areas in your life where you feel that there is need for improvement. And we can all empathize with that attitude. That is the attitude of each one of us. Surely each one of us today can see areas in our lives where we want the Lord to move and where we see room for improvement. But yet, this lovely thought comes to us right away. The Lord Jesus tells us, he encourages us today by saying that we are the salt of the earth. Everyone who is redeemed with his precious blood is the salt of the earth. There are three thoughts that I want us to take from this meeting today. The first one is a congregation that is minimal. You see, here in Matthew 5, we find a congregation that is minimal. Verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. His disciples came unto him. The multitudes didn't come to Jesus, but the disciples, they came to the Savior. This little band of men, they made their way up that mountainside to be beside Christ, and they sat at his feet, and they listened to this great text of Scripture. This is what they heard. Ye are the salt of the earth. But notice that it was a congregation that was minimal. How many men heard Jesus that day? How many people heard Jesus say, ye are the salt of the earth? There may have been only 11. Remember that Matthew was still at the receipt of custom. Matthew had not begun to follow Christ at this point. In fact, the chances are, and I would estimate, that there was probably only 4 disciples at this stage. James, John, Andrew, and Simon. There was a congregation of 4 that day. I hope that encourages you today. We don't have a big congregation here today, and partly because of the weather. And whenever the weather is cold and it's icy, whenever there is snow, of course we're not going to have big congregations, and be encouraged, we're not the only congregation that is decimated when the weather is bad. That's something, that's a fact of life. We just have to accept it. We today don't have a big congregation. But this congregation that heard this great text of Scripture that day, this congregation wasn't big. The congregation in Matthew 5 was not a big congregation. Probably only 4 people. And yet the Lord Jesus thought it was worthy to speak to those 4 people. Indeed, the Lord Jesus dedicates 3 chapters to those 4 people. Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7. To that minimal congregation. Just 4 people. And there were 4 fishermen. And yet they were of great value to Christ. And the Lord Jesus began to speak to them. And to those 4 individuals, this great text of Scripture came. Ye are the salt of the earth. You 4 people are going to make a big difference. You 4 people are going to have a huge influence upon the world. I want you to be encouraged today. Of course, every Sunday that we come to the house of God, we would love to see every pew filled. Of course we would. But at the present time, we don't see that. But at the same time, let's be encouraged. Let's not get discouraged. Oh yes, we can think of all the problems, we can think of all the discouragements, we can think of all the difficulties, all the mountains, but let's not focus on the difficulties, let's not focus on the mountains. Let's not think that for the Lord to move there has to be a vast multitude of people. No, that's not the case. The Lord comes to meet with small congregations, with minimal congregations, and he met with these four people, these disciples, on the Mount of Beatitudes. So let's not despise the day of small things. First of all, we have a congregation that was minimal. But let's also think about a commodity that was vital. A commodity that was vital. You see, the Lord Jesus says to these four men, "Ye are the salt of the earth." And there's the commodity that is vital, the salt. Let's think about salt for a few minutes. Let's think about some of the characteristics of salt. And let's try to work out why Jesus described these four people as the salt of the earth. Well, first of all, salt is precious. Salt is precious. I'm sure you would agree at this time of the year that salt is precious. Have you been into SuperValue recently? Have you been down to the filling station recently? Have you been to Tesco recently or to whatever shop? And I can guarantee you one thing. You found it difficult to find salt on the shelves, haven't you? Salt is in great demand. People want the salt at this time of year when the weather is bad and the roads are icy and their steps are dangerous. And of course people are using the salt for their doorstep, and we're even using the salt, what salt we can find, for the steps of the church. Salt is precious. And I suppose at this time of the year, you know, people realize, we can all realize how precious it is. But you know, back in the time of Christ, salt was also precious. Do you know back in New Testament times that people were paid in salt? Workers were paid in salt. Roman soldiers in particular would often have been paid with salt. You see, sometimes we hear the phrase, and you know, somebody says that somebody else is worth their salt. Oh, he's worth his salt, you know. He's a very reliable person. He's worth his salt. She's worth her salt. She's dependable. Where did that phrase come from? Where did worth his salt come from, or worth her salt? That phrase came from New Testament times, whenever soldiers and other people were paid with salt. And so salt back in the time of our Lord was very precious. Do you know today, if you're saved, you're very precious. I don't know whether you're the only Christian in your home. Perhaps you are. Perhaps you're the only one in your home who really makes an effort to serve the Lord. And it does take effort to serve God. It's not easy to serve the Lord in this day and age. But I want you to know today that you're precious. Each one of us here this morning who have made the effort to come to the house of God, each one of us today who know Christ the Savior, we are precious. Be encouraged today. You're valuable. The Lord looks upon you as someone who is precious. You know, the Lord in the book of Malachi likens his people to jewels. You go home today and you read the book of Malachi and you will come upon a description of the people of God being like jewels. And you know, as far as the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned, you Christian are like a jewel to him. You're very precious. Again, you immediately think, "Oh Lord, look at all my shortcomings. Lord, look at what I've been guilty of. Lord, look at the failure that I am. Lord, you know all the areas in my life where I need to improve. And you know, Lord, sometimes I am even ashamed to come into your presence." The Lord still says, "You're my jewel. You're precious to me." My blood was shed for you. I gave my life for you. I, the Son of God, left the ivory palaces of heaven, and I came into this world, and I came to save you because you're precious. And if you had been the only person upon planet Earth 2,000 years ago, I still would have come just for you. You're precious. Christian, never you let the devil tell you that you're of no value. Never listen to the lies of the devil when he comes to say to you, you're no good. You're good for nothing. You're not worth anything. You're unimportant. You're insignificant. That's a lie from the devil. You know, if only we as the Lord's people today could grasp how precious we are to Christ, warts and all, oh, how encouraged we would be. I pray that today we'll get a vision, get an understanding of how precious we are to our Redeemer. So that's the first characteristic of salt. Salt is precious. This is a precious commodity we're speaking about today. But not only can we say that salt is precious, but notice something else about salt. Salt irritates. Salt irritates. If you have a wound, if you have a cut, and you get salt in that wound or cut, you will hit the roof. It will be very irritating. It will be painful. It will cause you to be uncomfortable. It will cause you discomfort because salt irritates. The Lord Jesus was speaking to these four men on the Mount of Beatitudes, and I believe that he was telling them that there would come a day whenever they would irritate people, whenever they would be unpopular. And you know, that principle still stands true today. The people of God who take a genuine biblical stand for Christ will irritate certain people. If we stand up for Jesus in this day and generation as we ought to, we will have enemies. We will be like salt in the wounds of our enemies. We will be like salt irritating our enemies, making the consciences of our enemies uncomfortable and uneasy. Salt irritates. I will let you into a little secret today. After we took the stand on Halloween last October, shortly after that, I received a letter in the post. And inside the envelope was some pages of scripture. Probably 2, 3, 4 pages of scripture. Those pages of scripture were torn up. And there was a little message inside the envelope that simply said, use these pages of scripture for toilet paper. That was obviously someone who disagreed with our stand on Halloween. Someone who was irritated. The only consolation was that the pages of scripture were from the New International Version, so I wasn't overly discouraged. But nonetheless, surely that teaches us that if we stand for Christ, we will not be popular with everybody. The problem in the church today, the problem in the Church of Christ across, particularly in the Western world, is that there is an obsession with being popular. But we need to get back to what Christ said. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. And he was saying that his church would inevitably irritate people. He was teaching these four men that if they would stand up for him, if they would go outside the camp and bear his reproach, there would be people who would despise them and people who would even desire to take their lives. Salt irritates. And if the salt doesn't irritate, that's a sure sign that the salt has lost its savour. That's a sign that the salt is useless. Now, of course, we don't deliberately set out to irritate people. Christians do not try deliberately to irritate people. But as we take our stand for Christ, we cannot avoid it. Salt is precious, and salt irritates. The Lord Jesus said in Luke 6:26, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Not only is salt precious, and not only does salt irritate, but salt preserves. Salt preserves. You see, years ago when there was no refrigerators, of course, the people covered their meat in salt. Did you know that back in Bible times, little newborn babies were actually covered in salt? Whenever the little baby was born, that little one would be covered in salt. That little one would have salt rubbed all over its skin. And that salt was rubbed all over the skin of the little one to preserve the little one, to preserve it from infection. You know, the Church of Christ should have a preserving influence upon the community that it's placed in. We as a church cannot get rid of the decay. We as a church can't get rid of the corruption that is all around us and the evil and the sin. We can't get rid of it. But I'll tell you one thing that we can do. We can hinder it. We can oppose it. And we can halt it. We can seek to stop it going any further. And I pray that as a church, even over the year ahead, that we will do our level best by the grace of God to oppose evil of every description. Where we meet with evils, where we meet with corruption and wickedness, may the Lord give us grace as a church and as individuals to seek to come against it. May the Lord give us the grace as a church and as individuals to stand up against it. This world is rotting. New buildings is rotting. Well, let us be the salt that seeks to stop the rot. Salt adds savour to that which has none. That's another characteristic of salt. Salt adds savour, or as we would say, flavour, to that which has none. There are certain foods that I just cannot eat unless I put salt on them. And we all know that there are certain foods that taste bland, and you need salt for there to be any flavour. Well, you know, the Lord Jesus was saying to these four disciples that he wanted them to add savour to life. In other words, he wanted them to add flavour to life. The Lord Jesus was really saying that he wanted them to make him known. These four disciples would have the responsibility of going forth and preaching Christ. And as they preached Christ, people began to thirst for him. And people began to receive Christ. And and people began to receive abundant life that is found in Christ. And the lives of people that had no savour, no flavour, no purpose, their lives suddenly had a purpose, and life became abundant. There was an abundance in their lives. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 15, "For we are unto God a sweet savour of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. Jesus was saying to the disciples on that Mount of Beatitudes, I want you to go forth and I want you to preach Christ. I want you to preach about me in all of your preaching. I want you to exalt me. I want you to lift me up. I want you to make me the center of your preaching. And then life that has no savour will become a life that has savour. And you know, that's still the message for the church today, for us as a congregation, for us as individuals. In our lives, we should be constantly looking for opportunities to speak of Christ. Because if we do not communicate Christ, if we do not speak of Christ, life is not worth living. If we take the Lord Jesus Christ out of the equation, life has no purpose and life has no savour. Life is not worth living. Let us as individuals and as a church make Christ known. And of course my responsibility as the minister is to Sunday by Sunday, make the Saviour known and to lift him up. So we have thought about a congregation that is minimal and a commodity that is vital. But think about a contact that is essential. This is the last thought that I want to leave with you today. Here is a contact that is essential. The Lord Jesus says, ye are the salt of the earth. The earth. He did not say, ye are the salt of the church. No, he said, ye are the salt of the earth. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ was saying to these four disciples, I want you to leave the Mount of Beatitudes where you have been listening to me, and I want you to go out and to come in contact with the sin and the evil that is out there. I want you to go out there to where lost sinners are, and I want you to have a preserving influence. I want you to have an irritating influence. I want you to make an impact upon them so that they will be turned to me, so that they will repent and they will come to the Saviour. And you know what the Lord is saying to us today is exactly the same. It is not enough just to come into the church building, and we certainly cannot stay within the four walls of the church building. Our work is out there. We must mix with the people out there. Souls that are perishing. Souls that we rub shoulders with day by day. And that is where we are to be salt. Christians are not hermits. Christians should not be hermits. Yes, there are times in the day when we do get alone with God and we read his word and we talk to him and we unburden our hearts to him. But oh, then there's the time in the day when we're out and we're in the earth and we're mixing. There's the time in the day when we must be the salt, influencing others for Christ. Whether it's in the shop floor or in the office or the neighborhood, or whenever we have recreation time, leisure time. I don't know what you do in your leisure time, but we all need leisure time. We all need time for recreation. But in that time, I wonder, do you seek even to be salt? Do you seek to have a Christian influence upon people? Do you seek to point people to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world? I wonder, whenever we go on holidays this year, and again, holidays are a good thing. I hope that you're going to take a holiday. But I wonder, when we go on holidays, I wonder, would we think possibly of ways that we could even evangelize people on holiday? What country am I going to? What language do the people speak? Could I possibly come across, could I possibly get my hands on some gospel tracts that I could even take on holiday to that country? And I could be the salt of the earth. And even maybe as I leave, a gospel tract in that apartment or that hotel room, maybe someone that I'll never meet ever again will be saved and I'll meet them in heaven. I'll be the salt of the earth. Salt must come into contact with the food if it's to serve its purpose. You know, the salt cellar is no use just sitting on the table. The salt must be sprinkled onto the food. The salt must come in contact with the food if it's to have an effect upon it. And we as a church, we as individual Christians, we must mix with the ungodly. And we must seek to lead them to Christ. There's much talk today from the homosexual camp about coming out. I'm sure you've heard that. You can't avoid hearing their propaganda today. And homosexuals are constantly encouraging those who are of that persuasion to come out of the closet. In other words, what they're encouraging people to do is to let the world know that they're homosexual. Let the world know about their perversion. Let the world know about their abomination. Well, you know, there's a lesson for those who are saved. We need to come out, as it were. Too many Christians in the Western world today are in the closet. And they're afraid to come out to speak for Christ. They're afraid to come out and take their stand for Jesus. Homosexuals come out of the closet and they're proud of it. Did you hear of that rugby player just a matter of weeks ago? Gareth Thomas, Welsh rugby player who came out, as they say. Shame upon that poor soul. May the Lord have mercy upon him. May the Lord deliver him from his abomination. But you see, perverts are coming out today and flaunting their sin. And they're proud of it. We Christians need to come out as well. And yes, we need to be proud of the gospel. We need to be proud of what Christ has done for us and of what Christ can do for others. One final thought about salt. Did you know that in every one of the Old Testament sacrifices, salt was used? Whenever the blood was shed, whenever the lamb was slain, or the goat, or the bullocks, or whatever animal it was, whenever that animal was slain and the blood was shed, salt had to be added to that sacrifice. Just as the salt was included in all those Old Testament sacrifices, surely we, as the Lord's people, need to be always at the place of sacrifice. We are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. I am the salt of the earth. In other words, what I'm saying today is that we need to be constantly at the cross. We need to be constantly coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who made that one sacrifice for sins forever. And we need day by day to be at the cross. Thank you, Lord, for your precious blood. Cover me in that blood today, Lord. Protect me. Shield me from the enemy. Just as the salt comes in contact with the shed blood, and just as the salt comes in contact with the sacrifice, the salt is almost a part of the sacrifice. Lord, help me to always be near your sacrifice. Help me never to get to a stage, Lord, where I believe that I don't need the fresh cleansing of the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And Lord, then help me in my in my speaking. Help me in my daily conversation to speak about that sacrifice. Help me, Lord, by thy grace, to get opportunities each day to lead people to Calvary. How important it is that we make the cross the center of our ministry. How important it is for us as a church that the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ occupies the central position. And how important it is for you and I as individuals, day by day, Monday through to Saturday, to seek to speak of that perfect sacrifice for sins. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Ye are the salt of the earth."